This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, good morning to the people in the room, the people online. We're glad that you guys are here. If you have your phones, you have the app, go ahead and take out the message notes. We're starting a new series today. We're calling Forward, so there's an outline there. Bible's ready. Matthew chapter 17 is where we're going to end up. And we want to thank you for being here. I especially want to thank Jacob and Luke for preaching for the last couple of weeks. It's been fun to watch these guys grow and mature and just really bring God's word. It's great to see them grow as leaders and all of our volunteers that are here making this happen. I want to thank you guys in the room. So as you're getting ready to do that, I also want you to do one more thing online. And if you're here in the room, do this together. Maybe turn to someone and say this: Jesus paid my all. Could you do that from that song? Just turn to the person. If you're online, write that, type that in. Jesus paid my all. We want to encourage people. Let people know that you're here, that you're part of this. You know, we feel so disconnected right now. Just anything we can do, just say, hey, guys, be encouraged. Jesus is in charge. He's in control, and we want to encourage one another. It was funny. Taking 2 weeks off, I thought that I would come back after 2 weeks and that we would be in a place where we're starting to plan out the fall. We would start planning on people coming back. We're in a soft opening right now, meaning there's just a few people in the room. But we were hoping maybe we'd be to the point at this point in the year that we'd say, okay, in just a couple of months, we'd be back together. But what happened, as you guys have watched, is things have just gotten worse, haven't they? In our state, number of cases have gone up, hospitalizations have gone up. School systems having to look at going online here in our county. They're not going to start back in person. And so all those dreams that I had, all those thoughts that I had, you're probably in the same boat. You're going, okay, extend them a little bit longer. And I don't know about you, but a lot of people are getting tired a little bit. You know, we thought this would be 3 or 4 months, and it's just gotten longer. And so this is that time where people get a little bit like, I'm tired of this. I want to get back to regular things. We get a little more uncertainty. We're not sure of how to plan. Maybe you've kind of fallen to that as well, as jobs have become a little bit more uncertain, as life has become a little uncertain. And we want to figure out, how do we get to the other side? How do we plan to get to the other side? What steps can we take? And it really is hard to do. It's really hard to see this is the path to take. And so what do you do when that happens? How do you make this work? Our family, we took a week off. We went to a little village of Straits, North Carolina. It's down east. My sister had rented a house. My brother and his family and my family rented a house. And it was really nice to be on the water. It's down east, down near the Outer Banks. And the particular part we were at, there was Cape Lookout, and Shackelford Banks are out there. They're uninhabited islands, pristine beaches, miles and miles of just openness. And it's just across the water. And you would think all you do is get in a boat and go across. Well, the thing is, this is where the shallow water really is bad. This is called the graveyard of the Atlantic for a reason. And every day the channel changes. If it was low tide, you almost couldn't go anywhere except for one little channel. We actually, in the boat we were in one time, hit ground. And one of our other boats that my nephew-in-law was driving, it got stuck on the ground and had to be pushed off. And so you look at these things and go, well, how do you go? It looks like you just point your boat to where you want to go and you just go, but you can't do that. What you have to do is to look at these channel markers, and some of them are hard to find. And they're either red or they're green, and you look for them in the distance, and then you go toward it. And as long as you're going toward it in this very narrow channel, you can be safe. If you deviate a little bit to either side, you get into trouble. And then when you follow the right path, you get where you want to go, and everything's good. And wouldn't it be nice if in this world, as we're trying to navigate all the different things we're dealing with, wouldn't it be nice if there was a channel marker that says, go this way, make these decisions, do this, and you'll get to the other side, and it'll be okay. And the Bible actually talks about that there is something like that. In this series that we start today, we're going to be looking at the one thing that God has given us, the main thing that helps us get from where we are to where we need to be, and to get there safely, and to get there in a way that it builds us up and makes us better. In Galatians 5, verse 6, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us what that thing is. He wrote this: The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Let's camp out there for a second. The only thing that counts. Now, there's a lot of important things in this world, but the only thing that counts, he says, is faith. And he's not talking about doctrine. He's not talking about a teaching. He's talking about something else. He's talking about faith in God, a trust in God. The only thing that counts is that kind of faith, that kind of trust in God, expressing itself through love. So it's this relationship thing. And that's what matters. And that's the thing that takes us from where we are to where we need to be. It's this faith in God. I like this definition of faith. I just pulled this off of the dictionary. It says this: faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. In this case, it's a complete trust or confidence in someone. Not a thing, not an idea, not just a group of teachings, but a confidence and trust in Jesus Christ to walk us through, to get us through. You know why? It's because relationships are the most important thing in life. Specifically, our relationship with God, but it applies to any relationship we have. It's built on trust, right? When you lose trust in someone, the relationship crumbles. When you lose trust in your marriage, the relationship can't last. When parents can't trust their kids, when kids can't trust their parents, then those relationships don't make it. If you look at our society right now, there is so much distrust. People don't trust anybody. They don't trust the news. They don't trust people with a different political party. We're having troubles with trust between races. And because of that, we're having a time of broken relationships, and it's hard to navigate, and we're really kind of floundering. So trust is this essential thing in life, but essentially we're going to see that's the most important thing for our relationship with Jesus is our trust. Hebrews 11:6, a great verse to talk about faith and really our relationship with God. The writer of Hebrews wrote this: "And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Just kind of camp out there for a second. It's impossible to please God without faith. In other words, God wants to be pleased with our relationships. What he's looking for is people say, "God, I just trust you. I don't just trust in you, I trust you. I trust your word, I trust your promises." And God says, when you trust me like that, especially when times are hard, especially when times are uncertain, when you trust me like that, it pleases me. And I think more than anything else in my life, I want to get to the place where I just please God. I want to please him because of all he's done for me. And he says, the way that you do that is you draw near to me. You've got to trust or believe that I exist. First of all, that God is there. He does listen. And think about every time you pray, you are praying to an invisible God, and you are saying things to him, and you trust that he's there. And not only that he's there, but he rewards those who seek him. In other words, when you come to God, he says, "I'm going to reward you for that. I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to step into your life. I'm going to meet you where you are." God is good. And we begin in this faith journey saying, if God's good and he is loving and he is kind and he is caring, then I can trust him with anything and everything. And that pleases God. And that's where we want to be. So for the next few weeks in this series that we're calling Forward, in other words, moving forward in life with a great faith through uncertain days, as we look at this series, one of the things I want us to do, all of us, is grow in our trust in God. Grow in our faith in him, grow in our belief in him, to look at different stories in the Bible and say, okay, that's what it looks like. Because I don't know about you, but in order for me to learn something, I don't use a manual. Manuals are tough for me. I don't know anybody else is like that. If you show me a manual with all those words, I can read it, but I don't really understand. You can tell me how to do something. I'm not an auditory listener. I can't pick it up. You lose me after the first couple of sentences. But if I watch you do something, if I see you do it, if I look on YouTube and go, this is how you fix the car, or this is how you fix a door, or whatever it may be, if I watch somebody do it, I learn how. That's my best way. Well, the thing is, the scriptures are that way. In the Gospels, we see people that trusted Jesus, and we can learn from them. They go, that's how you do it. Some of the stories in the Bible that are recorded in the Gospels are people that had great faith And you go, that's how you do it. Other people had little or no faith and go, that's how not to do it. And the gospel writer that we know as Matthew, he loved to collect stories about people of faith. And when you read his words, you'll see that he grouped them together in a couple of sections in his book, almost kind of out of order chronologically, but in order of theme. It's like, here are some people. Look at what they did. Look how they responded in faith. Now you go do the same. And I love these kinds of stories. We're going to start one today in Matthew 17. If you have your Bible open there, we're going to have it on the screen. You can follow along. Just kind of catch you up in this particular account of Jesus' life that Matthew recorded. Jesus has gone up and he's taken three of his disciples up on a mountain. And then when they're experiencing something up there, we're going to get to in a minute, he brings them back down. And when he brings them back down, he encounters a man and he encounters the rest of his disciples. And he's going to face some uncertainty in their lives. He's going to face a father who's kind of hit a wall and he doesn't know how to get through it. And he's going to face a teaching time and see how Jesus brings them through this to teach them and to teach us. So Matthew 17, 14 and following reads like this. And when they, meaning Jesus and the three disciples who'd been up on a mountain, when they came to the crowd, and there was a crowd that had gathered, a man came up to him and kneeling before him said this, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. The boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And already I think this challenges maybe our understanding of God and our reality that we see our regular life with and how we handle problems. And before we kind of look this a little bit deeper and break it down a little bit, let's just stop and pray. Let's pray together. Father, in this passage, there's a lot to learn, a lot of grasp, a lot to apply. So I just pray you'll speak to us and teach us and lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit to grasp, to learn, and to be changed and transformed. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today I want to look at what does great faith look like and how do we apply it to your life. It's on your outline. There's three things we're going to talk about and what we're going to look at. And the first thing I want to say just from this story, what does great faith look like? It means this. Number one, faith is always about moving forward toward Jesus. Faith is about always moving forward toward Jesus. We kind of dive into this story, feel the frustrations of the father, the one whose son is suffering, just kind of get a feel for that. He's got a son who some of your versions will say he had epilepsy. This one says he had seizures. And they came on him when he was near fire, like just a fire there in the house as they were cooking or when he was near water. And he would suddenly fall toward it, and his dad, I know, was worried, as any dad would be. He's going to get burned. He's going to get hurt. There's no emergency room to take him to. These things are tough. He's near water. He gets thrown into the water. The scriptures later tell us it's a demon that's causing this. But just get the anguish of the dad. He can't do anything. He can't let his son out of his sight. He's constantly worried what's going to happen to his son. I just want my son to live. I want him to have a good life. I want him to be free of this. And he kind of, as a last-ditch effort, brings him to Jesus, but Jesus isn't there, just nine of his disciples, and they can't help him. And they try and they fail. And I just feel his frustration, and maybe you do the same. Have you ever been frustrated because things don't work out? And you try to make them work out, and you try to go and do the right things, and nothing seems to work? Or maybe there's someone in your life that you love and you care about, and you see them on this path, and they're just going the wrong direction. You can't fix it. You can't stop it. someone with a health issue, you've done all the right things. You've tried to protect yourself from this virus. Somebody gets it. You lose your job, even though you've worked really hard. It's just downsizing or something else that's happened to you. And you go, okay, I'm really uncertain what's going to happen. And yet faith moves us forward toward Jesus. This father came to Jesus. There's a crowd. And the dad moves toward Jesus, and he kneels there. And just get the feeling there that's his humility. It's this humility of coming before Jesus, and he says one word. He says, Lord, I recognize that you have answers and I don't have answers. I recognize I need you. I've tried everything else. I'm coming to you, and I'm trusting that you can do something. That's what faith does. It moves us toward Jesus, not simple answers, not just grabbing at Google or trying to ask other people. It's coming first to Jesus. It's not about blaming people first, not about complaining first. It's going, who has the answers? Jesus, because he's Lord, and I'm coming to him. Faith always moves us forward towards Jesus. In the book called Deep Faith, Dr. Rob Reimer talks about how as a seminary professor, he was invited to speak at graduation. They had a number of people speaking at this particular graduation for the seminary, and they were allowed as a speaker 25 words, and that was it. In one 25-word speech, you had to say everything you wanted to say to these seminary graduates. What would you do? In a really short speech. He wrote that he got up in front of them, and he asked them all to take their hands and just hold them up empty, kind of like this. And he says, look at your hands. There's nothing in them. And he goes, this is what you can do without Jesus. Basically, all your seminary training, all the skills that you've learned, all the talent that you have, it means absolutely nothing without Jesus, because Jesus is all. And I think that's exactly what the dad does. He comes to Jesus with empty hands, and he says, I can't solve this. I have no power to change my son. I have no power to heal my son. I cannot help him move from where he is to where he needs to be. I come to you with empty hands because you have something I need. You are the person I need. That's what faith is about. It's about coming to Jesus, moving forward toward him, bringing our problems, our concerns, and going, I trust you with this issue. That's number one. That's what faith is all is about moving forward toward Jesus. Number two, what do we learn about what great faith looks like? Number two is that faith is living with certainty in what God can do. Faith is living with certainty in what God can do. I love that word certainty. Is your faith there yet? Do you have a certainty that God can do anything? Jesus, when you look at him in this story, he comes down the mountain, he sees a crowd, this dad comes before him, he leans down to look at this man who's kneeling before him. The man says about his son, and the disciples can't heal it. And all the things going around, and Jesus says, bring him to me. There's no hemming and hawing with Jesus. There's no, like, I'm not sure what to do here. I'm not certain how this is going to turn out. It's simply, bring him to me. And the scripture says he rebuked the demon, and instantly the young man was healed. There's nothing in Jesus' mind with doubt or uncertainty or anything else. It's simply action. And you go, well, that's Jesus. He's the Son of God. Of course he can do that. I'd do the same if I was the Son of God, right? We look at Jesus and go, he's different than us. He can do anything. And then you look at the words of Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says to us, truly, truly, it's repeated. It's the word amen, amen. It means this is the truth. I say to you, whoever believes in me, whoever trusts me, whoever has faith in me, will also do the works that I do. Did you realize that? We can do what Jesus did. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Greater things than Jesus? How is that possible? He said, because it's not about you, it's about me. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to be your advocate. It's not your strength, it's my strength. And I think that changes everything when we look at it. We are not Jesus, but Jesus is in us, and the power of the Holy Spirit's in us. And Jesus, who never lies, told us this, who Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. That's a promise of Jesus. Do we trust him? I saw this chart the other day of how most people grow in their faith. It looks something like this. We start off with hope, then we move to expectation, and then as we grow, it moves to certainty. Like step one is this, I hope God will do something, right? We pray, I hope God will do something. It's kind of filled with doubt, right? I think God can, but I'm just not sure. I hope God will do something. And then it moves to expectation. I expect God to do something. In other words, we begin to bring things in place that when God answers, we're ready. We start arranging. We send out our resume. We start making phone calls. We set a time to meet with someone to repair a relationship. That's expectation. And then that moves to certainty. I am certain God will do something. He will answer the way that's best. And this is how we grow in our faith. We move from hope to expectation to certainty. One of my heroes in the faith is a man named George Mueller. You probably heard his story before. He was in England during the 1800s. His particular calling in life was to take care of the poor, those in poverty. I think everybody has a different calling as far as how they follow Jesus. He had a particular heart for orphans. He started several orphanages in England. He had thousands of children he took care of, and he had very little money. And the way he did it was by certainty in God working. The classic story, and I've shared this before, is when one morning they woke up and he was at a particular house, orphanage, where they had 100 children and there was nothing for breakfast. And he told the children, we're just going to pray. And they prayed like children that God would provide. Soon there was a knock on the door. It's a local baker. The baker comes in, says, I've been up since 2 o'clock. God laid on my heart that you're going to need bread. Here's a bunch of loaves of bread, enough to feed the children. And then soon after, another knock on the door. It was the local dairy guy, the local milk guy. He used to take milk from door to door. He says, my wagon is broken down. I can't fix it with all this milk in it. The milk's going to spoil. Would you like it so I can unload the wagon so it can be fixed and you just drink the milk? And so all the children understood this. God provides. God provides exactly what they needed. Another story from George Mueller's life is told by the captain of a boat that George Mueller was on as they crossed from England over to the United States across the North Atlantic. George Mueller went to this captain who wrote this story down and said, I've got an appointment Saturday that I'm supposed to preach, and I need to be there. And the captain said, well, we've had to slow way down. There's too much fog. We're not going to be able to get you there by Saturday. And George Mueller says, well, I'm going to pray. And so he prayed a very simple prayer, something along the line of, God, you set up this appointment for me to be there Saturday. There's too much fog. I'm asking you to clear the fog. And he prayed, that was it. And he closed the prayer. The skipper, the captain said, well, do you want me to pray too? And George Mueller says, you don't have to. I've already prayed. And God's going to work. And they went out and looked, and the fog dissipated. And the boat got there in time for him to make his appointment on Saturday to preach. I think those kinds of stories are great. We look at someone just is so certain that God's going to work that we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to kind of wring our hands. We don't have to get all worried. We know God's going to do something. When God answers prayer, usually it's one of four ways. Sometimes he says, no, that's not my will. And as we listen to him, we go, okay, God, you have something better. You have something better for me. So the answer no is sometimes hard to hear, but sometimes it's the best thing to hear because it's from God. Sometimes God says slow. The timing's not right. It's going to happen. It just may take a while. You think about Moses leading the Israelites in the desert for 40 years. The answers were going to get there. You're just going to have to go slow. You're going to have to wait. Sometimes God says, grow. Timing's right, but you're not. You're not ready to take on this new assignment. The person you're working with is not ready. You're just going to have to grow. They're going to have to grow, but I'm working the whole time to get you there. And sometimes God says, go, which means it's already head that way. The doors are open. Let's go. And that's what he said to the dad. And immediately the boy was healed. Hebrews 11:1 is this classic verse about faith. I want to use the message today, maybe something different for those who've been in church for a while. This is what the writer Hebrews says. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith is the firm foundation of everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. I love this. When we have this certainty in God, it's the foundation of everything else, so we're not shaken when we can't see the other side. When we don't have certainty, when things are a little bit doubtful, when there's too much fog and we can't see, it's our handle. This trust in God is our handle to get us through. It's our foundation that keeps our lives going. I don't know how this is going to go, but I trust God. It will be good. So faith is about moving towards Jesus. Faith is about living with certainty. And number three, what does a great faith look like? Faith is the key to unlocking the activity of God in our lives. It's this key that makes things work. The disciples had come to Jesus and they were embarrassed. So they came to him privately. We don't need anybody to hear this, Jesus, but we have a question for you. This dad came with his son and we tried to help him, but we couldn't. Why couldn't we help? And Jesus says, because you didn't have enough faith. You lacked the key. You couldn't open the door. Faith is this key that makes things happen in our life. It's God chooses not to work when we don't trust him, but when we do trust him, he begins to work in our life. Faith is the key to seeing God at work. On our last day of our vacation, again, down in the eastern North Carolina, we were on a boat, and we were coming into the dock, and we were getting ready to get out and jump in our cars, and we had a great time. And I got the keys out. I didn't have any pockets, and so I was holding them in my hand, and we came up to the dock, and the boat came in at kind of a weird angle, so I reached out to grab the dock to keep us from hitting them, but my keys were in my hand, and so I dropped them in the water, and this sudden panic came up, because like that's the key to our car, and our car is over there, and I don't have a set of extra keys with me, and we're leaving tomorrow, and it's Friday afternoon, and I'm sunk. And so we got the boat set, and I jumped in the water, expecting about 4 feet of water. I thought I could just stand up and just reach down there, and it was 8 feet of water, and it's a little bit murky, and so all I knew to do was dive, right? Just dive in the water and pray. And it was kind of these little shallow prayers, because it's like just praying, God, we need our keys. I need to be able to get home. And maybe you've been in that same situation where you can't find your keys. But one, we're thinking about where's the keys? And two, what about that little battery that unlocks everything? It's probably ruined, right? The little key fob that now I don't know if I can get in the car. But I couldn't find the keys. And I kept diving in and kept diving in and kept feeling the bottom. And I kept running out of air and kept praying. And my older brother jumped in. He was with us. And he came up after several dives. And he had the keys in his hand. He goes, I found them. And it's like almost a kind of like God brought it to him, because he found them when I couldn't. And it was like, wow, that just unlocks everything. We went over to the car and we inserted the key. And it turned the key lock and the car started. And now we're home, obviously. What a relief, though. But I don't know how you are, but I faced some things in my life where I didn't have the key of faith, and it just felt like I had lost the keys, and all I had was doubt, and all I had was fear, and all I had was uncertainty, and it seemed like there was no way through. And maybe you've gone through the same thing, because without faith, God doesn't work. He wants to see that we trust him. Jesus said this amazing thing in verse 20. He said to them, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed is not the smallest seed in the world. There's other ones, but probably the smallest one they knew of. He said, that's all you need to have, is that kind of faith. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. It's an amazing statement. And the thing about a mustard seed is it will grow and it will mature. And I think that's what happens with our faith. He says, just start with what you got, just that little bit of faith, and you'll be able to say to this mountain, move. Now, that's an amazing statement. You will say to this mountain. Why not a mountain? Why not the mountain? Why this mountain? What was it about that particular mountain at that time? Well, remember, Jesus had just gone on a mountain climbing trip with three of his disciples. The nine didn't go. I don't know what happened, whether Jesus just said to the three, let's go climb a mountain, or whether he said to the 12, let's go climb a mountain, and 9 of them said, I don't want to go, it's too hard, it's too far. I don't know why they got split, but we know 3 of them went with Jesus. And we know what happened on that mountain. When they got to the top, Jesus was transfigured before them, and they saw his glory, and they saw his majesty, and they saw his power revealed. And they suddenly understood that this was not just their friend. He wasn't just their teacher. This is God himself. This is the one through whom God created everything, is just by speaking the word. The word created everything, gave everything organization. This is Jesus, who's always been and always will be, who never changes. This is the Son of God. And they understood something. And Jesus is saying, when you get me like that, then nothing's impossible for you. When you understand that I have done this amazing thing and I am this amazing person and with all my glory, when you see that, like, nothing's impossible for God. It's not about what we bring to the table. We bring nothing to the table. Empty hands, that's it. Jesus brings everything to the table. Faith is trusting in him to do what we cannot do, what we cannot accomplish. Faith is going, God, I can't see it, but you can. I'm just going to move towards you, and I'm going to trust you to open the doors because I can't, only you can. Corrie ten Boom, who was a person who lost a good majority of her family in the Holocaust, she wrote this down. She says, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. That's faith, isn't it? That's certitude, isn't it? It's saying, God, I can't see it, but you do. I necessarily can't believe all of it, but you do. And I can't make the impossible happen, but you can, and I can receive it. That's what faith is all about. I see Jesus. The Father in this account is the one we're looking to say this is what faith looks like, right? This group of disciples that were there that couldn't cast out the demon, Jesus said, you have too little faith. We can learn from them how not to do it. But we learn from the Father. This is what you do when you're facing something that's too big for you. You bring it to Jesus. You get down on your knees, which is basically saying, I bring nothing. And you call him Lord. And you present your problem. And you go, Jesus, this is yours now. We are looking for the impossible. Today I want to do something we close up. I want to ask you this question. What's your mountain? What is it that you're facing that you can't solve? Maybe it's a loved one that you're just going through a difficult time. You want them to make different choices. They're living the wrong lifestyle, or they're dealing with a something like a disease that you can't solve. Or maybe it's your own issues. Your finances are shrinking. Your job was terminated. There's a relationship you can't make work. What's your mountain? And today what I want us to do is you think about, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you and shows you this mountain, just kind of figuratively or wherever you are, just hold your empty hands up and go, I can't do anything with it. I bring nothing. But Jesus, you can solve this problem. So we bring to him our mountains and we go, Jesus, I can't move it, but you can. It's impossible for me, but not for you. So whatever that mountain is, let's begin by just praying about it, coming forward toward Jesus in faith and giving him our issues and giving up control and saying, Jesus, this is yours. I trust you. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before Jesus, who is our advocate, who is even now at your right hand standing up for us. And we bring to you the mountain that we face. The mountain of impossibility, the mountain of uncertainty, the mountain of fear, the mountain of brokenness, the mountain of frustration. And we bring it to you and we say, move this mountain. Not because we deserve it, because of who you are and who you've revealed yourself to be and your great love for us and what you tell us in your word and the promises you've given to us, we come on that basis. You tell us to trust you. And it's either real or it's not, and we just trust that it's real because you are real and you do exist, and you do reward those who earnestly seek you. I pray for this group of people in the room and those that are watching it now that have this mountain in their life, and I pray that you'll just move it, Father. You'll move it in a way they see your hand at work, and you'll just reveal yourself in a greater way, and we'll grow in our faith and our trust, and we'll keep our eyes on Jesus and not our problems. And I pray that you'll just give us encouragement during this time to trust you for all things. And we pray this in the matchless, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your stories. We'd love to hear what you're going through. As God answers these prayers, will you write us and email us and say, hey, we prayed and God did this. We'd love to share those to encourage people. We'd love to pray for you as you go through times of trials, as you go through this uncertainty. Let us know so that we can see God with you. We can believe with you. We want to thank everybody in the room for being here today. After we close down, there's a communion for you on the way out. For those of us here in the room and they're watching online, join us next week as we take in week two of this series that we're calling Forward, as we continue to look at stories about faith and people who trust you in all things. Thanks for being here, everybody.